Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm John Ramos, and welcome to VFN TV and the Daily VFN Radio Program. We are excited about the program we have today and all the things we are going to be discussing with you. Here in the studio to encourage you is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And Steve Kalaszewski.
Good day, sir.
Good day. Oh, my goodness. What a day. We have just so many things to discuss and talk about. And we appreciate you joining us, of course, on the Gulf Coast. All of those that are viewing us on Christian Television Network, we love meeting you and speaking with you. We just had a chance over the weekend just to meet a few of you guys, and it's been wonderful to have these interactions and conversations. And you guys are encouraging us, because together we're not only keeping the conversation light, but we're helping for that light to continue to shine in dark places. And it's always good when we hear from you. Of course, our VFN radio audience all around the nation and the world. Today in our program, and don't forget that we are two programs back to back, we're going to be discussing some of the things that are happening right now, trying to give you a biblical perspective, if you will, God's news behind the news. And one of the things that we're going to be discussing in today's program is there is, my goodness, misinformation, if you will, that's being shared today on the media. Believe it or not, it does happen from time to time.
Would you be surprised?
We'll leave that one there. But what's often reported and said is that Gaza is the most densely populated area. And it is true that there's 1.5, 1.8 million folks in this small strip of land. But Alan Dershowitz, he's a Jewish attorney, and some of you may be familiar, has done some things on television. He wrote an article for Gates Tone Institute, and which actually says, no, that is not true, that there is a lot of sparse areas in the Gaza Strip. And he wrote this amazing article, and we're going to share a little bit about it, because it says that, hey, there's a lot of spaces, there's a lot of places where the Palestinian people can go to that are actually not going to be in harm's way. And so we'll discuss more about that, but this is just came out. Also, we're going to be talking about the thousands of Christians that have been stranded on Sinjar Mountain. Christians and Iraqis, ISIS has pushed them up there, basically. They have fled from them, and they had no resources up to this point. They are in, it's August. I mean, hot, hot sun, children, babies, and you're going to see firsthand how they've been coping and what the United States government has been able to do here recently to provide some aid for them, and also have sent some fighter jets to push them back. The Kurds are greatly appreciative, and you'll be able to hear from them yourself. And we're also going to be talking about today's program, hopefully, 11 things you need to know about Hamas. 11 things. Some of these things you may know, may not know, but nonetheless, it's important to know them and share them with others. And if we get time in today's program, we do want to speak about the rabbi from Brooklyn, who was actually shot and murdered in Miami while he was visiting his daughter going to the synagogue. We've been talking about it here on VFN TV here for quite a while. That first it's the Saturday people, and then it's the Sunday people, and it's happening right here in America. And so you want to be informed, you want to be vigilant, and you want to be prayerful for our brothers and sisters in Israel, our Israeli-Americans here, and of course, for our brothers and sisters, Christian brothers and sisters all around the nation and the world, because things have turned up a couple notches. So pay attention. But I want to talk about, Pat, this article that Alan Dershowitz, the attorney, wrote. And, I mean, he's an attorney now. I mean, you know, I think we may need to defer to Alan here for a little bit. But he wrote this article for the Gates Tone Institute. And he says that basically it's been reported often how, you know, Gaza oftentimes is the most, you know, densely populated area, 1.5, 1.8.
Is that worldwide or just in the Middle East?
Well, in the Middle East, that area is very, very densely populated. Mm-hmm. Besides, I think it's also been reported, too, that it's the most densely populated area in the world, actually in the world.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. And so I thought, that's pretty interesting. Union City in New Jersey, actually the most populated, densely populated area in America, like 60,000 people on two blocks or something. It's crazy.
Wow.
But, yeah. But anyhow, we're talking about Gaza. And he says, you know, the fact is that there is area. We have a map that we can make available for you that, and they'll be on the torch, and you can see now that there are areas where there are not that many people, living in Gaza. There are these controlled cities where there's tons and lots and lots and lots of people, but then there's areas that it's partially populated. Hmm. And the question is why hasn't the media covered these densely populated areas? And, Alan gives us a couple theories, a couple things to think about, and to really, kind of put our mind to it. He says, why are they not reporting there? They're just reporting from the cities. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing he says is, there's several possible reasons. There's no fighting going on in this sparsely populated area, so showing them would be boring. So that's one reason why they don't have cameras there.
Right.
Okay, get it.
Nothing
that
there.
Makes sense. But then he says, but that's precisely the point, to show areas from which Hamas could be firing rockets and building tunnels, but has chosen not to do so. Things that make you say,
wow.
Interesting. Or perhaps a reason the media doesn't show these areas is Hamas won't let them, says Alan Dershowitz. And that, too, would be a story worth reporting.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not. So just go along here with us, things that make you go, The second reason he goes on to explain is, why doesn't Hamas use sparsely populated areas from which to launch its rockets and build its tunnels? Were it to do so, Palestinian civilian casualties would decrease dramatically, but the casualty rate among terrorists would increase dramatically.
Mm.
See, why not put the rocket launchers there? I mean, right now, you can see, we've covered this extensively on VFN TV and VFN Radio, that they've put rocket launchers in near schools, near playgrounds. They've put rocket launchers near mosques. They put rocket launchers outside of apartment building windows. They have tunnels that are started out, in a home,
mm-hmm.
that go underground. Why not do this? You want to fire rockets. You want to do this type of stuff, because the idea is, and what the media will, and even a Palestinian young man that had the opportunity to speak over the weekend, they're convinced that there's so many people there that there's no other place to put this rocket. There's so many people that we just have to put this in the schoolyard. I mean, there's just so many people.
Right.
We have to put it on top of our vehicle,
right.
and climb on the van and then put the, I'm saying? No.
Obviously, that's not true based off this.
Obviously, we're getting reports and we encourage you to do as much fact checking as you can. Understand that this is an attorney who just did this, so rest assured, but please do all the fact checking. But no, there's areas that they can do this, and but they're not. And he says that's precisely why Hamas selects the most densely populated areas from which to fire and dig. The difference, and we've talked about this before, is that Israel uses their missiles to protect their people. Mm-hmm. But Hamas is using their people to protect their missiles. And this is outrageous. I mean, this is, I said irresponsible to warm. It's beyond irresponsible. This is an atrocity. And why is not there not more of an outcry in the world? In the world. I spoke to this young Palestinian man. I said, listen, have you not seen the pictures? There's pictures. Boy, rocket. Women, children, rocket launcher.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's happening. It's happening. And you have to separate the Palestinian people from Hamas. Hamas is just a militant reportedly a militant wing or arm of the Muslim Brotherhood. They were elected into power by the Palestinians, but I think the Palestinians would now, if they were able to communicate, would say that this is not good. You know, they maybe they've made a mistake, because now they've lost so many civilians, so many people, just brutally, just killed, hurt. You have loss of family. These are folks right now that are living without power. They're trying to do everything they can to get aid. It's actually being reported now that Turkey is trying to get a flotilla in there with aid. And it's like, well, the last time somebody tried bringing a flotilla in there didn't go well. You know, Israel found out a whole bunch of other stuff that was on that boat, but they say they're coming in with aid. And Israel has given them so much aid. All of these ceasefires, by the way, that Israel has agreed to, that Hamas has repeatedly broken, has been so that aid can get into the Gaza. I mean, this is the most humanitarian war I've ever heard of. I mean, you bomb in there, and then I think that Israel is able to separate, and I think they're doing a really good job at separating who the true enemy is. They have said repeatedly that the Palestinians are not our enemies. Hamas is our enemies. And so we will, you know, continue to help and do what we can to help them. And this is what Alan writes, the attorney, Alan Dershowitz. He says, the law is clear. And since him being an attorney, I would just, you know, defer to Alan here. He says, the law is clear. Using civilians as human shields, which the Hamas battle manual mandates, is an absolute war crime. There are no exceptions or matters of degree, especially when there are other alternatives. He goes on to say that the law is also clear that when a criminal takes hostage and uses that hostage as a shield from behind whom to fire at civilians or police, and if the police fire back and kill the hostage, it is the criminal and not the policeman who is guilty of murder.
Wow.
And so too it is with Hamas. I mean, here recently the United Nations took a vote to investigate whether they were going to charge Israel with war crimes. And you go, that's interesting. 17 nations abstained from voting, and only one nation had the nerve to say no. And that was the United States. Understand this, that the United States, the American citizens, Congress, I mean, the church, many people in the United States stand with Israel. They stand with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. And this is an atrocity. And I'm glad that the Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has the fortitude, the strength, to stand against all the lies, all the propaganda that's being, you know, promulgated through the media and others, and they're staying the course, and they're going to get the job done. When we get back, we're going to continue to talk about this article and the 11 things you must know about Hamas. You don't want to miss it. More when we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. 3 convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
Do Bible clubs and public schools have the same rights as other clubs? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
My daughter, who is in eighth grade, she wants to have a Bible study after school, which has been done there before. She has been told that she can't make any announcements. She can't hand out any flyers.
Are the other clubs allowed to utilize these other medium for the communication about their clubs?
My understanding is yes, and I know in the same district with the high school, they hand out all kinds of things.
Let me get you in touch with our lawyers here at the American Center for Law and Justice. Equal access means that it's the same access to the school medium, that is the public address system, the newspaper, the community bulletin boards, the club fair, those kind of things. They should be given the same rights as any other after-school group. So let me get you in touch with our lawyers here at the ACLJ, and we will get you some help on this right away.
Learn more about student rights and the American Center for Law and Justice at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
And it's like corrupt generation. And now it's getting more corrupt. I mean, it's like this momentum of corruptness is happening. I mean, the worldwide is getting very corrupt. And it's like, okay, now do you get it? We're corrupt. I mean, the Lord had me go through this deep, deep lesson in history that I couldn't even take it no more. Because I kept taking me deeper and showing me men are evil outside of Him. The deeper you go in the nature of men, you'll see that men have been evil outside of God. I mean, it's not going to get good. You're thinking like, where was the right policies? Where was the right law? Which was the right nation? Who was the right king? Who was the right leader? And it's like, it just gets nastier and nastier the more you go back in history. And it's just like, what? God said, me. That's why He came to save us from this corrupt generation. You're not going to change this America by policies. You're not going to change people by new laws or taking away laws or stimulus packages. You're going to be changed by the stimulus of the Holy Spirit's power that comes upon you when you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. And then whatever the world happens, happens, but you're going to be saved. You're going to have the power of God with you and the presence of God with you.
You've just been listening to a moment from the VFN Dream Center. Find out more. Join the dream at VFNDreamCenter.org. That's VFNDreamCenter.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. And right before the break, I mean, we were getting right into this article written by Alan Dershowitz. He wrote this for Gates Tone Institute. And in this article, he debunks, I guess, what's something that's been being reported a lot in the media. We've actually shared it itself because we were getting it from the media in terms of the Gaza Strip being the most densely populated area in the world. Now, Alan Dershowitz being an attorney, a famed attorney, right? We're just going to... Benjamin sharing a little bit some of the things that he's has written about, and we have maps to show you in the torch, and you can take a look at this, and we encourage you to do your own investigation. But we find this to be very, very interesting, and you know, we're on the third point that he makes regarding why you know, Not only has this been shared over and over again that the Gaza Strip is the most densely populated area, ignoring the fact that there's huge swaths of land, if you will, that is partially populated. And the third thing he talks about is the United Nations. But you were saying something, Steve, before the break that I thought was interesting regarding what the former ambassador, I believe, said, Michael Oren. Israeli ambassador said.
Yeah, and we'll make sure it's related too, because CBN had a specific interview with him, and he made so much of an emphasis by saying Hamas doesn't necessarily have a military strategy as they do a media strategy. And you kind of like, just, you really have to begin to question, there's so much intelligence and information about Hamas and Gaza that nobody's hearing.
Right.
And it's just like, you look at it and it's like, okay, we're consistently seeing Israeli fighters. We're consistently seeing Palestinian civilian casualties. And it's just like, where's the Hamas fighters? And the Israeli Defense Forces, they have a great article where it talks about the invisible face of Hamas. And they highlight the fact that Hamas has those. Have you ever seen those open displays of power of just like parading with, with like tanks and missiles and all
the
that?
And the black garb with the green.
The black garbs, the greens. They're headband. Wearing the flak jackets, the AK-47s. And it's just like, but that's not what they look like in the war.
Right.
They're just dressed as civilians. They're just dressed as normal people that blend right in. They don't dress like that. And that's
you being one who's been in the war, former Marine.
Exactly. It's that much harder to identify, okay, is this civilian? Is this enemy? And and that's what makes it more difficult. And that's the thing, too, as well, is that we've talked about in a previous article, is that even the journalists who are in the Gaza, they're threatened and say, you know, you can't record this. If you do record it, we're going to shoot you. We're going to kill you. And that's the thing, is that there are journalists from around the world that are actually in Gaza seeing Hamas, but they can't get it out to the Western world. They can't get it out to media. And that in itself shows that much more that Hamas knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
And if they can keep their position from being seen the rest of the world, then we're just at the mercy of what the media can share.
Right. Wow. You know, they can't share it while they're there, but we would hope once you get to your country, I mean, upload the tape. I mean, I get it. Okay, there is an AK-47, you know, aimed at you, and you just can't say live here from the Gaza hotel here on the corner with those rocket launchers. Yeah. But, you know, as soon as the plane touches land, you know, dive and hand over the, you know, the CD card. You know, just throw the camera over the fence and let them upload it so that the rest of the world can see it. Mm-hmm. My goodness. Well, the third thing that he talks about is the third moral question is, why does the United Nations try to shelter? Why don't they do this? Try to shelter the Palestinian civilians right in the middle of the areas from which Hamas is firing. So the United Nations is in there. They're putting up these shelters. I mean, why? You know, here's a good question. Let's just talk about it. Why are you sheltering them, putting a tent, you know, building rocket launcher tent, you know, tank, whatever. Why are you sheltering people there? Because he goes on to say that Hamas has decided not to use the densely populated areas for rocket firing and tunnel digging. Hamas has left that area. They're not using it for rocket launch, you know, to do their harm, right? So then he goes on to say, for that reason, the United Nations should use these sparsely populated areas as a place of refuge. By golly gee, like, duh. Why don't we use this sparsely area, right? There's no people in there. Set up a tent. Pull them all out, since it's only six blocks anyway, right? I mean, get ahead and transport the people over there and make sure that since Hamas is not using them for digging any tunnels. They're not doing any rockets out of there. Let's go ahead and set up these tents so these people can be safe. And then he really says something here. I said, well, this is really good. Then he says they should also declare these areas battle-free and build temporary shelters and tents, if necessary, as places of asylum for the residents of the crowded cities. It should prevent any Hamas fighters and any rockets and any tunnel builders from entering into these sanctuaries, and in that way, Hamas would be denied the use of human shields, and Israel would have no reason to fire its weapons anywhere near the United Nations sanctuaries. The result would be a considerable saving of lives. I mean,
wow.
Hey, come on. I mean, this is English to me. You know what I mean? This is
pretty plain.
Pretty plain. It breaks it down here. We could eliminate all these lives. So why is the United Nations not doing that? Why are they seemingly, apparently, looking like, hey, allegedly, whatever, partnering here with Hamas and allowing these poor Palestinians to be in harm's way? But he goes on to say that instead UN is playing right into the hands of Hamas by sheltering the civilians right next to Hamas's fighters and weapons and tunnels. And he says that the United Nations and the international community accuses Israel of doing precisely what Hamas intended Israel to do, and that's namely fire at its terrorists and kill United Nations protected civilians in the process. It's a cynical game being played by Hamas, but it wouldn't succeed without the complicity of the UN and its agencies. When you think about it, to me, that makes absolute sense. And so you're partnering. This is not going to end if we're falling right into the strategies here of Hamas. I mean, this is a really simple thing to understand. And now it's getting exposed, and now it's being shared with you, the listener, the viewer. And we encourage you to, together, us partnering, we can continue to shed and share the light on the truth as we know it and as we're getting it, so that we can share it with others. Because there's a lot of, you know, misinformation, and if we can get the right information out, then people's eyes will begin to open, and we will see more support. Because a lot of times, people just don't understand what is happening. They see that Israel's, you know, firing rockets, and so they assume that, well, probably Israel did something bad. Look at these civilians in a, and you know, rubble, and it gets people to wonder, well, why is there only 1,500, you know, 1,500 civilians killed and only 70 Israeli soldiers killed? What, you know, why is that? Well, you got to know a little bit of story behind the story, and you got to know, you know, all of the information, not half truths and half reporting, so that you can get, you know, come to the right conclusion. But really, really interesting article, and it really sheds light. And I think that's exactly what's needed and exactly what needs to happen. We want to encourage you to do your very best in supporting Israel. Pray, volunteer, and you know what? Spend some money in Israel. There are a lot of folks right now that are out of work in Israel. A lot of folks that would be traveling, people that would be going to Israel, have probably scaled back some traveling because of what's going on. So go ahead and buy something online. Go to Israel online and buy something and support the economy. Together, we can pray and we can stand for the Saturday people, because as Sunday people, Christians, we're going to need those to stand with us. More when we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
God is putting together today, establishing apostolic centers. He has established and is establishing for this next generation, this next season. We refer to them as apostolic centers or hubs, and we've talked about them before. But I want you to listen right now to Paul Keith Davis as he speaks about it prophetically as it's happening. Listen up.
We're living in the hour right now where the angels that gather message is relevant, where storehouses are being identified. Let's call them apostolic resource centers. Let's call them freedom outpost centers, as Chuck Pierce says, whatever you want to call it. The Antioch type of a model for ministry is relevant right now. Places are being identified. Leadership is being identified. The hearts of men are being examined by the eyes of the Lord, roving to and fro to see whose heart is completely his, so that he may strongly support them. And when he does find what he's looking for, he's going to give them authority. He's going to give them authority. Their words are going to have weight. They're going to begin to change the environment. They'll change the atmosphere. They'll prophesy something. We're living in an hour now where prophecy is not optional. It is mandatory. 1 Corinthians 14, you may prophesy, but I'm over in Revelation right now. Revelation 10, you must prophesy. You must prophesy again concerning many nations, tongues, tribes, and kingdoms. Why? Because the Lord has a harvest to bring in. He has a bride to awaken. He has sons of the kingdom to empower. We have some work to do. The Father's business needs to be done. And so I know that these places, Antioch was probably the purest model to what we're going to see today. Jerusalem, of course, was the first model, but it was primarily Jewish, as you know. But when Stephen was stoned, the Bible says the disciples were scattered. They went to Cyprus and settled primarily in Antioch. And all of a sudden now, the Spirit fell again in Antioch, and it became an apostolic hub where Barnabas went and found Saul of Tarsus, or Paul, brought him back there. They made that their base. They went on three missionary journeys out of Antioch. Antioch became the place where the people were first called Christ people, because they were so much like the Lord. They were identified with him and his name. Isn't that amazing? And I believe these new models that are about to come today, these prophetic models of apostolic resource centers, of storehouses, of freedom outpost centers, will redefine the Christian definition. You'll be a Christ person. You'll be a person like Christ. John G. Lake had four experiences. On the fourth one, when the glory of the Lord came in and upon him, he said, I became a Christ man. Isn't that amazing? He said, now I didn't just have his power, I expressed his radiant nature. Wow, that blew me away when I read that way back in the 90s when I had my experience on Thrones of the Soul. And so I know the Apostolic Resource Centers this year are being identified, places that will be given authority. We're going to win people in. We're going to go out into the wheat fields that surround the storehouse. We're going to prophesy people in. Our intercession will not just simply be intercession now. It'll be proclamation. It'll be decrees. It'll be taking authority, saying, bring them in. We're claiming them right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Give them up. You know, addiction, give them up. Pornography, give them up. Whatever it is, you got to give them up. Why? Because he's given you authority to overcome, authority to destroy these shackles that have held this harvest in at bay, and they're going to come in. And when they do, we're going to train them. We're going to be given this incredible grace to train and facilitate their not only being set free of all the stuff, but also to lay a foundation of truth in them that will be so fast and so rapid it will scare you.
VFN Dream Center, think about this. An apostolic center on the Gulf Coast for the purpose of reaching the world. This is what was said, I believe, by Dr. Michael Brown. If you want to do something for God, find out what God is doing and dive in. Give yourself fully to it. Listen, this is what God is doing in the earth. He's establishing apostolic centers throughout the nation and throughout the world. It is time for us to arise and shine, for our light has come. Maybe the VFN Dream Center is for you. Maybe it is. Go to VFNDreamCenter.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. And we're going to be sharing with you the 11 things you need to know about Hamas. And this was shared by the Center for Israel and Jewish Affairs. And these are pictures with captions, and we're going to do our best to have these for you on the torch. But, you know, it's important to know who Hamas is. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not just a military group. They're actually a terrorist organization. And we're going to share number one with you. In 2002, Hamas was listed and is listed as a terrorist entity in Canada. In Canada, Hamas has been listed as a terrorist entity since 2002, and since 1990, Hamas has been responsible for several hundred terrorist attacks, one of the primary groups involved in suicide bombings aimed at Israel. Number two, Hamas Prime Minister eulogized bin Laden. We most certainly condemn the murder of this Arab, quote, and Muslim holy warrior. May he take his rightful place together with the martyrs and the righteous. Think about it. Oh, this is what their prime minister, Ismail Haniyeh, and he's mourning Osama bin Laden. Okay? Number three. The day of judgment will not come about until the Muslims fight the Jews, killing the Jews, when the Jew will hide behind the tree and the stones, and the trees will say, oh, Muslims, oh, Abdullah, there is a Jew behind me. Come and kill me. See, Hamas is devoted to the murder of Jews. This is in their charter. This is article number 7 in their charter. It says that they have to kill the Jews. Mm-hmm. This is who Hamas is. Mm-hmm. Number four, don't trust us. Read it here. This is what they put out. Number four, this is Hamas. Hamas's official slogan. Allah is its target. The Prophet is its model. The Quran, its constitution. Jihad is its path. And death for the sake of Allah is the loftiest of its wishes.
And what is jihad?
War. Let me go ahead and read you their slogan again. This is from the Center of Israel and Jewish Affairs, And this is number four of the 11 things you need to know regarding Hamas. This is their official slogan.
Mm-hmm.
Allah is its target. The Prophet is its model. The Quran is its constitution. Jihad is its path. And death for the sake of Allah is the loftiest of its wishes.
Mm.
I mean, not only when it kills Israeli and anyone else is not Muslim, but it's even sacrificing their own people.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And it's been previously said, too, that Hamas's whole realization is that they love death as much as Israel loves life.
Mm.
That kind of just says it plain and simple right there.
Yeah. Mm. Number five, Hamas rejects peace. Initiatives and so-called peaceful solutions and international conferences are in contradiction to the principles of Islamic resistance movement, Hamas. There is no solution for the Palestinian question except through jihad, something else that is written in the Hamas covenant. Number six, also in their covenant, Hamas is inciting a holy war. It is necessary to instill the spirit of jihad in the heart of the nation so that they would confront the enemies and join the ranks of the fighters.
Mm-hmm.
This is in their charter. This is in their covenant. It is necessary to instill the spirit of jihad in the heart of the nation so that they would confront the enemies and join the ranks of their fighters. This is probably something that they tell the innocent civilian Palestinian woman. This is probably what they tell the Palestinian child. You know, come join the ranks. Come give your life. And it's like, man, this is horrible. This is evil. This is evil while the world remains silent. And that's the scariest thing of all.
Mm-hmm.
In 2005, number seven, in 2005, Israel withdrew from the Gaza, also took down their settlements, right? Completely left. Mm-hmm. In 2007, 2 years later, Hamas seized control in a bloody coup. And since then, more than 10,000 missiles have been fired at Israelis. So people look at what's happening today and say, oh, you know, Israel's shot all these. Well, listen, let's rewind the tape. This this incident with Hamas did not just occur during Protective Edge in the last, you know, month or so.
Mm-hmm.
This thing has been going back since 2007, mark it, almost 7 years ago. And since then, it's been 10,000 rockets.
Mm-hmm.
There's some history here.
Yeah.
There's some history here. This not just happened. Number eight, Hamas seeks the annihilation of the Jewish state and any hope of a liberal, democratic Palestinian society. This is in their covenant. I'm going to read it for you. This is the law governing the land of Palestine and the Islamic Sharia law, and the same goes for any land of the Muslims have covered by force, because during the times of Islamic conquest, the Muslims consecrated these lands to Muslim generations to the day of judgment. They think they have right to this land.
Mm-hmm.
Number nine, peace partners, question mark. These are the faces of violent Islamist extremists. And we're going to make sure this is available for you. Hezbollah, ISIS, Hamas, and Boko Haram. Remember, Boko Haram is the one who took all these Christian girls. I think they think 200 to 300 of them. These are the faces of violent Islamist extremists. Now, what's interesting is that although, you know, Bridget Gabriel reports that, you know, these Islamic extremists represent 15 to 20% of the Muslim population, which is, you know, anywhere between 1.5 and 1.8 billion people, that number would result in maybe, you know, 250 to 300 million Islamic radicals. Okay. Not every Muslim is an Islamic radical, but there's still 300 million of them, which in comparison is equivalent to the population of the United States. So where are the other 800 Muslims?
800 million.
800 million Muslims decrying, saying, this is awful. This is evil. When I had a chance to speak to a Palestinian, he said, He said, I've never seen the pictures. I've never seen the pictures of the rocket launchers. I've never seen the pictures of the rocket launchers next to children. I said, you've never seen them? I've never seen them. Well, my next question was, well, if it was true, if you saw it with your own eyes, if this was, you can prove it, what would you have to say about it? And I'm glad to know he said, yeah, that would be wrong. That would be wrong. Well, I said, it's happening. It's happening. Mm. You know, you want to save Gaza, you got to get Hamas out of there. You want to save the Palestinians, you got to get Hamas out. And they were voted out, voted in, you need to vote them out.
Right.
Number 10, Hamas forces child labor. The child shall be protected against all forms of neglect and cruelty and exploitation. This is what the UN says, UN Declaration of Rights for the Child. This is what the UN says. I'm going to read what the UN says because this is important here. The child shall be protected against all forms of neglect, cruelty, and exploitation. On the other side of that, Hamas used 13, let me get this right, Hamas has used 13 and 14-year-old children as suicide bombers in Gaza. Wow. Think about that. Mm. 13 and 14-year-old children as suicide bombers in Gaza. Now, when was the last time the UN brought a war crime on that?
Mm-mm.
I mean, come
haven't
on.
Heard anything.
I haven't heard a thing. Number 11, Hamas doesn't care about the innocent civilians in Gaza. Hamas controls a number of large uninhabited areas in Gaza, but chooses to launch missiles from densely populated locations. This is exactly what we just spoke about in Alan Dershowitz's article that he wrote for Gates Tone Institute. It controls huge areas of land that where no one lives in, yet they want to keep all the Palestinians in these confined areas. So who's the oppressor? Because you would hear from people the argument that Israel's the oppressor, and it's like, I think Israel gave you a piece of land. Mm-hmm. I think Israel supports you and gives you humanitarian aid. I mean, who is the oppressor? Hamas is the oppressor. That was number 11. We want to encourage you to share this with your friends, but I know that, Steve, you have a perspective that you want to share from IDF. When we get back from this break, you're going to hear more about that because the Israeli Defense Forces put up a blog where they started interviewing Israeli soldiers and what they saw and what they experienced. You don't want to miss it when you come back to hear some of the things that they found out once boots were on the ground and they were actually in Gaza and saw for themselves. More when we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing. Pat.
Hello.
What's up, man? How you doing?
Doing well. What's up?
I'm doing pretty good. I've noticed that Steve.
Hello, sir.
Hello. Steve is looking nice and crisp as well, too. I like the tie. I like that going on there. And he has gel.
He has gel today.
I'm trying
to match the laundered look.
Fresh.
Fresh iron.
There you go. But the gel works well. And, of course, Chris is smiling. Oh, my goodness. We have a program. So you see, they're not working with me today. They're just like, you know, I'm like, okay, all right. Okay.
Are these really the jokes?
Okay.
Or is there more coming?
So, Pat, what are you talking about today? Share with us what the Lord, come on, talk to us. We have such an exciting
John, do you know the VFN TV app is out, right? I think it's 4.0, man.
4.0.
That is so cool. And they're doing a wonderful job at designing it and putting it together. And everything that we're saying and doing is available now on the VFN TV app. All you got to do is go to your app store, type in VVictor, VFN TV, and it just shows up. Or you can go to VFNTV.com and click on the appropriate store, whichever one you actually have your phone with. But it's so important. You can listen to highlights. You can listen to the programs. You can listen to us live. We're live 24/7, 7 days a week. And some encouraging words, some any prophetic words that are coming out, you know, God's news behind the news. It's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news you know. Listen, get the app. It's totally free, by the way. Go to your app store and find it today. Just type in VFNTV. It'll pop up. Download it for free or go to VFNTV.com.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining us back from the break is Pat and Steve. And Steve, you're going to get ready to share with us, talk to us about the Israeli Defense soldier and what he was able to witness after they interviewed him from Gaza, the Gaza Strip himself.
Well, we've talked about previously that, I mean, obviously in times of war, you're going to have casualties. Both, you know, we've shared how the Palestinians are being affected, but also, too, it's just like there are Israelis that are being affected. There's loss of lives. There's also casualties. Guys are getting shot. And in one specific account, there's a gentleman, and due to security, they've removed his name, and is Sergeant O. And his unit was basically tasked there on the southern port of Israel, went into Gaza, and the amazing thing was, after speaking with his commander, the commander had said specifically, you know, we're not here specifically for contact, meaning the fact of being in fire with Hamas. We're specifically here to find the tunnels. Mm. And what was surprised to Sergeant O was the fact that there were no civilians. It was already evacuated. And apparently, because obviously they had gone, but they were specifically there to find tunnels. And in this patrol, if you will, while they were in Gaza, what he had found and what he had saw shocked him so much was the fact that he consistently saw, and I'm just going to read it. I just want to read a brief sentence of what he put. In every house, we found magazines, newspapers, and other media for anti-Israel propaganda. We even found some documents containing plans to conquer Israel to build a Palestinian state over the land of Israel. And in this, he has pictures of basically weapon caches. He's got basically weapon systems right next to a crib in a residential home.
Wow.
And as I was reading this in just a few sentences, it was so eerily similar to what I saw, because I was overseas twice in Iraq with the Marines, and we operated just in the proximity of Fallujah, central Iraq. And that is the amazing thing, because it's the exact same tactics, because I could walk into any house, and if a five-year-old came to the front door, I would say, where's your machine gun? He would walk us to the room where it was. He could unload it. He could rack it, basically pull the bolt back, tell us if it was ready to fire. They were so well acquainted with weapon systems. It was scary, but the same thing too, that was how they operated. And as I was reading this and I saw this picture, like I said, you'll see two explosives that is basically wired. Basically, you can just pick it up, what looks like anti-tank mines, literally underneath a bed next to a crib. And I remember specifically we were on a just doing knock and talks, walking through a specific house. And I went to, because every time you go into a house, you want to check out all the rooms. Mm-hmm. And again, this is a time when I was in Iraq. And I go to open up a cupboard. And on this cupboard, children's being young, they doodle, they have crayons, they draw stuff. And I had seen a little children's cartoon, picturesque, whatever you want to describe it as, but it was basically of an anti-tank truck, I guess. And it was basically of just that image of terrorists fighting against American soldiers with anti-tank guns and RPGs. And it's like, these are children. They're not drawing sunshine. They're not drawing kitty cats.
They're drawing bombs.
Wow. But that's the thing that we're talking about, getting an empathetic understanding of urban warfare. And it's like, this is the type of things that the IDF is encountering on a daily basis when they're having to be tasked to go into Gaza. They're seeing this, and it's just like, there is no safe zones. Yeah. And you don't know. It's not just like a normal cache in the middle of a field. It's right next to them in a residential area in the baby's room. Mm.
Amazing. Amazing. We're going to continue in our program. You know, today's program is it's first the Saturday people, then the Sunday people. And we know what's been going on in Israel and during, you know, Operation Protective Edge. But we're going to be talking and shifting over to be speaking about what has been happening in Iraq and what's happening to Christians due to the persecution that's coming from the Islamic State, the ISIS. I mean, these guys are being reported. They are more ferocious, if you will, than Al-Qaeda. But evil is evil. Yeah. I mean, come on. Evil is evil. And they have been persecuted. They've been taking huge, huge pieces of land. I mean, they're in Syria. I believe they're in parts of Lebanon. They're in parts of Iraq. They actually control a water dam now that if they let it go, could flood all the way down to Baghdad. I mean, they actually have that in their control. And because of a recent, you know, place that they were able to conquer and move into, they have now forced many Christians and many Iraqis on top of Sinjar Mountain. And this is an atrocity. These folks are fleeing for their lives. So they have to go up to this mountain. And so they have either been like, you know, what do? You either starve up there or you come down and risk being slaughtered. And the United States has just been able to send some humanitarian aid. But we want you to see this video from CNN. We want you to see this so that you can see firsthand a little bit of the children and what's happening when folks have to leave their home and go hide in the mountain to save their life. Watch this.
Desperation on a mountaintop. Kurdish civilians, some clearly wounded, baking in the August sun. This little girl crying, "I lost my sister and brother. Where is my mother?" With every passing day, Kurdish officials say more people die here of dehydration and exposure to the extreme August heat. Kurdish officials say tens of thousands of people from the Yazidi religious minority fled to this mountain ridge to escape ISIS militants who recently captured the nearby town of Sinjar. ISIS have the Yazidis surrounded, the trapped people relying on airdrops of vital water and food delivered by the U.S. and Iraqi air forces. Kurdish TV released this footage of a helicopter delivering assistance to the same area. A lucky few make it on board the flight to safety. Their faces pretty much say it all. Not far away, ISIS militants have been celebrating their latest advances, showing off their control of the Mosul Dam, a strategic piece of Iraqi infrastructure. If it breaks, it could flood all the way down to the capital, Baghdad. Further east, U.S. airstrikes appear to have slowed the ISIS advance, bombing suspected ISIS positions just west of the Zab River, just 20 minutes' drive away from Erbil. Kurdish officials relieved and thankful for the U.S. intervention.
We are most grateful and express our gratitude and deep, deep appreciation for President Obama and the U.S. administration and for the courageous U.S. Army and airmen who are now patrolling the skies of Iraq and Iraqi Kurdistan.
U.S. air power has given the Kurdish administration in Erbil the opportunity to bolster its defenses around this fragile sanctuary in the north, where hundreds of thousands of Iraqis fled to escape the ISIS advance. Ivan Watson, CNN, Erbil in Iraq.
This is amazing. This is amazing. When you see children crying, I mean, they're thirsty. They're being dehydrated. I worked in the yard this summer, and I like this summer, just this weekend. I was walking back there throwing some seeds, and I'm drenched. I can only imagine just sitting up there on top of this mountain, and they're dying because of dehydration.
Imagine 120 degrees, if not hotter.
Wow.
Amazing. You know, and we have to grow in compassion, empathy. And you look what happened. I mean, you're hearing from the Iraqi foreign minister expressing his gratitude, expressing his thanks to the president, because the president over the weekend sent in some couple of fighters there and sent some humanitarian aid to help the people out. They've dropped them down, but they've also authorized these fighters to fire upon ISIS if, you know, American interests were you know, being jeopardized. And you look at this and you say, how did we get here? I mean, how did we get here? You know, we went into Iraq. We helped liberate a country. They said we'll welcome us as freedom fighters for them. And then we pull out. And this, I mean, it's almost like the second we pull out, evil comes right on in. And we have lost major advances. And I think about the men. I think about the women that served in our, you know, in our arms military who've left their families. They've left their way of life. Like Steve, who's done two tours of duty. And then what? Now what? Mm-hmm. Now what? Now we have a crisis there, and you know, and the president's saying that he doesn't want to have any boots on the ground. Well, you know, we don't have any boots on the ground. How are we going to get these people off the mountain? What are we going to do there? Now they're talking about arming the Kurds, which the Kurds have been asking for weaponry unanswered. And now we're talking about arming the Kurds. Listen, we've got to get involved. We've got to help. These are Christians. Christians right now are being persecuted. Their heads are being cut off. Mm-hmm. And this is important. Now is a time for us to stand. Now is a time as Christians to pray, to get involved, contact your local representatives, and say we've got to do something to stand with those that are being slaughtered. We cannot remain silent. We cannot ignore this and be trapped by our luxuries. We got to say, no, this cannot stand. We got to do whatever it takes to help people. Listen to what the foreign minister said. He said, listen, the airmen are patrolling the skies. America's a great country. God's blessed us. What are we going to do with this blessing? I want to encourage you to pray and stay tuned for our next program where we're keeping the conversation light and keeping it focused on Israel. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. We'll be right back. taking VFN Radio and VFN TV anywhere you want to go, Wi-Fi or no-fi. Why? Because of the podcast. We have podcasting available for you right now. What happens with podcasts? You go to VFNTV.com, click on the podcast, choose the source of podcast that you want to receive it in based on your particular device, computer or mobile device, and realize it just automatically will do what you set it up to do. It will download it while you're having lunch. It'll download it while you're at work. And then when you're driving anywhere in the world, flying anywhere in the world, even when you're on an airline, they say turn off all these mobile phones. You still can actually listen to what's already on your playlist, which would be downloaded programs and highlights from VFN Radio. Go to VFNTV.com and get the podcast today.